Don't worry about it.
All right, we're back. We're back.
We're back.
It's happening. We're not taking a holiday break. We are going straight through. Nope. So you guys have something to do on your Christmas and New Year's and yeah. all the things. We have Lauren Kleinman here.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
excited. You for having me. Lauren is a multifaceted entrepreneur, business, mother, friend.
Thank you.
You know, gorgeous supermodel. That's what I like to say. I'm like, she's child, also baby. She's also child a supermodel. Bride. She moonlight. I mean, I think you may have modeled in your past, but like,
in,
she's in also college, brilliant.
She you in went Miami.
To, you went to USC?
I did.
Yeah. So, are you from Miami?
No. What? I was there with Andy, my husband.
Oh.
And
she just did a little swimsuit modeling.
I did.
Did you really?
You know, it's a very funny story, actually.
Because his sister.
I walked into Wilhelmina yeah. in Miami. Yeah. And we were on vacation there. And I just, because I did do it a little bit, like, you
fit
know,
modeling,
here and
right?
there. I started like fit modeling. My aunt yeah. was in clothing production.
Okay.
And then I did a little bit of modeling in college. And then I was there and I was like, I'll go to Wilhelmina.
Yeah.
And I was signed there. But at the time, I had a job in tech. I was in gaming, like on a desk job, you know,
hot.
Working. I was the only like
so hot
female like in the company, basically working with all these engineers.
Yeah.
And somehow it was a couple years into the job and like I guess I did a good job. And I told he's a CEO now, and they turned into a pretty large company. I was pretty early on there. But I told him I got signed by Wilhelmina. I was very honest. And I was like, do you think I could move to Miami for, you know, like 6 months
remotely?
Or so and work remotely. And, you know, I would just be going to like castings every now and then, probably on the weekends, you know, I won't be distracting at all.
Yeah.
And they said yes. And so I moved to Miami. I was working at
with Andy?
No, we were dating,
oh.
but he had to be here. So oh. we did long distance for 6 months, I guess.
Wow.
And I was working out of like Soho Beach House with like a coconut and a dirty burger on the beach with my laptop. Sending my, yep. you know, emails.
I love it.
And like the time zone was very conducive. So
oh, yeah,
it was
because
a dream.
Oh my gosh.
Wake up like,
yeah,
you know,
3 hours
run on the beach
yeah.
to Equinox. And yeah. So nice.
And like, isn't Andy's sister a swimsuit designer? Am I making that up?
She does create swimsuits. She's a clothing designer, Carolina Kay.
Yeah, I
and
have one of her swimsuits.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. She's all about like slow fashion, and she did all of the, what's it called? Not costumes, the uniforms for the Faena Hotel,
oh,
which
wow.
is where we got married.
Which is where.
And then she had her store in the Faena as well in Miami.
And isn't that Catherine Martin who did the Faena? Because Duran, I think, did the furniture.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But now she has a lot of stores, like a lot of celebrities wear her stuff. She's in a lot of press. And
No, yeah. it's funny. So our husbands are friends, and that's how Lauren and I met. But randomly, I don't know. It's kind of an awesome swimsuit. Like it's like very special. And he was like, do you know this designer brand, whatever? And I was like, yes. I was like, I had to search to find, because it's definitely not fast fashion. It wasn't,
yes.
it was hard to find,
yeah.
but I really like had to have it. And I was like, yeah, I know who that
Her
is.
Her pieces are like one yeah. of one, but she has a lot of like super fans that just buy.
Does she live in Miami?
Collection. She lives in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She travels a lot to Mexico.
To Miami?
My husband's Argentinian,
yeah,
and she's Argentinian, so her parents lived there, and you know, it's kind of in between. That's why we got married there, because I'm from California, my husband's from Argentina, and
so
it's like
in the
middle ground,
kind of.
Yeah.
But does anybody? She lives there. Does
she lives
Andy's
there.
Andy's family
time.
Live there.
His parents did live there. They passed away.
Oh.
But yeah, now his, you know, her son and husband live
nice.
There, and Andy lived there for 10 years.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking you were there with him.
Yes. I didn't know him then when he was living there.
Crazy.
But, yeah.
I thought they all followed your swimsuit career there.
I know. Yeah, no. it wasn't that big and bold, you know.
I love it.
They told me to start smoking, and that was kind of like the
really?
End of the end. Yeah. They criticized my Chanel bag. Yeah.
What?
Agent was mean.
Criticized? Why?
Yeah.
It was
like too, like, you know, not hip enough, like too
oh,
old lady.
Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Too
mature.
Too old money.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. That would be a brag that I would take to the grave.
Yeah.
It would be like if I went to Harvard brag. It'd be like Harvard swimsuit model. I couldn't decide which one is better than that. Okay, so much to discuss. I don't want to talk only about the businesses that you've created, but I do want to touch on the space that you're in. I saw that you have a Substack. How long have you been doing the Substack?
Yes, that's like a this year project. So maybe I started in January, February or something. And I haven't been super consistent, but I try to do like one a month.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you.
I started to think that I'm like a genius because I started like repurposing content. Okay. So I actually got an ink column a couple months ago.
Wow.
And so I started to create content for the ink column. Don't tell the ink people this.
Where are they?
And then I put it on the Substack, and so it's spread the love.
But is it like New York? Yeah. Is it like LA? Like, are we talking about like newspaper or? Like
no, like digital.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's like a digital column that I have on what I do, like PR and performance marketing.
And so, what confuses me about the Substack, because I do like not yours.
You should have a Substack.
Not you.
You wouldn't like mine.
No. It's very boring. No, not yours in particular. I just mean the business model behind it, because I know that most people, you can access a certain level of it without paying, but then there's like you're getting more if you pay.
Yes.
But how?
I feel that you have to have like a really strong following to start charging.
Yeah.
And I don't have that kind of talent or dedication. Like, I feel that a lot of the fashion influencers can charge because like you really want their, you know, recommendations. Yeah. Like, I think Molly Sims or like people like that. Like,
but even Leandra, the cereal aisle, do you follow her? Leandra
Cohen?
Yes.
Medine.
Yes.
I'm sure. She's like such an OG. Yeah.
But she gives quite a bit of content away for free. And then it's like upgrade. I'm like, I can't. What is she giving? What do you like? What is it? What's the like?
Just
what's
more
the
wreck.
What's the Easter egg behind
the juicy stuff?
Yeah.
For sex tips.
That's right.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I mean, like, who knows?
That's what would get me through the paywall.
But I also, I find that some of these people who are more consistent with it, yes, have a bigger platform, but really want to write also.
It's like a full-time job.
So do you, when you write it, do you dictate or are you like typing it out?
Yeah, I dictate and then I edit. And I luckily have an assistant who used to be an editor at Nylon. So she also does some revisions.
I find that some of the Substacks that I read aren't really even edited. And it's easy to see. It's easy.
But it's kind of nice that way, right?
Yeah, and you're not.
Because it feels human.
Exactly. And you're not misreading it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's not a punctuation or it's. But you're like, oh, I still get it. It's not.
I have this theory that people are making typos on purpose to showcase that it's not ChatGPT content, because there's just like the slush of ChatGPT. And so.
Can
I noticed,
you ask ChatGPT to like make it look real? Like, is
there,
you can?
You can tell it to make it look like your
But, style. You know, it still can only look as real as it is. I use ChatGPT sometimes, but it's like a multiple revision process. Like, I have actually an AI trainer, and he always says, like, whatever you get from ChatGPT, you should revise it like four times before it ever sees the light.
Is he a real person, your trainer?
He's a real person, but he looks like a robot, and he talks like a robot. And every time I'm on the Zoom with him, I'm like, oh, knock, knock. Are you there?
Can I get some proof of life, please?
Yeah. He's so good.
So last night was my mother-in-law's birthday, and we had her over to our house and made her dinner. She's kosher, so my husband had to like procure all of these kosher meats. Even though I don't know. It was more for him, I think, just to like, you know. I don't even think she cared. She'll eat whatever. And my brother-in-law decided to introduce her to ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And was... But I use ChatGPT occasionally, but I never have it actually talk to me. I'll just read it. Do you have it talk to you?
Yeah.
Like,
preparing for a meeting
or like a man voice?
I have the hottest man voice that I've ever heard.
Stop it.
I'm like convinced that it knows somehow what would be attractive to me.
Stop it.
I will play it right now. Like, it is the hottest thing.
Play it right now. So my brother-in-law said that he's asked for it to be a man and it won't change.
Have you ever asked ChatGPT what they think you look like?
Oh, no, but I've like given it probably my photo.
It's so off.
Really?
It's off? I would love to hear you.
I did this last night. I took like my daughter's drawing. I don't know if you can see this. Anyways, and I made it into a comic book. Like, it's incredible. Look at that.
That's amazing.
That's so cute. Wait, let me see how I can have it talk to us.
The other day it was like, would you like me to convert this to Canva? And I was like, sure. I didn't even know what that meant. And then it was like, oops, I can't. I'm not like a real human. And I was like, oh my God, shit. I didn't realize.
I found the flaw. Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Let's see. Say something dirty to me. I have to make it. Say something dirty to me.
Not like this.
It's really thinking. Not like this. For? Not like what say you, something dirty
just
to me.
Just to consolidate.
Oh my God, it said I can't help with that. Rude. Okay, well, let's at least have him say it.
Just say something.
Hold on.
I can't help with that.
That's the voice that's hot.
I don't know. That wasn't his best.
He sounds like an agent. A short
sounds like
agent.
He's bearing so, down.
A short little.
I can't help with that.
Let's see. oh, this is like OB stuff. I can't have it talk about that. My ChatGPTs are just here. Hold on, this is EBITDA stuff.
Yeah, let's I don't see. Use it to its full.
Just cut this all out.
Short answer first. Add 2 to 3% of EBITDA on top of the existing 5% pool. That puts total variable comp at 7 to 8%.
I feel we would be together.
EBITDA, he's a little Michael J. Fox.
It's taking a weird turn.
Oddly, I remember it being more like English.
You really pitched that hard, and I'm
I
like,
know I did pitch.
He
it
sounds like your AI trainer.
So wait, how many options of voices are there?
I don't know. This is just the one that
I don't have it. So, talked to
but how did it choose? You were like, I'd like a man, please.
I think so.
Okay,
but to get to the point, yeah. I sometimes I'll be like walking into a meeting, and I have a lot of meetings that are back to back, and I don't have time to research who I'm meeting with.
Look at her closing the loop. Like, yeah. I love nothing more than this, by the way. Sorry.
There's always a
close the loop. Please, God.
I'm walking to a meeting and I'll have it just like give me the whole history of the person. Then I'll walk into the meeting and I'm like very, I didn't do it this time, obviously.
Yeah. You don't know well,
I know nothing about you. Very well educated, you know?
Yeah.
And, like I have some talking points.
No, that's nice.
I'll even do it to like brief me before Zoom meetings.
And you're driving and it's talking to you. I love that.
Yeah. Do you have Copilot?
The money manager?
No. On your email.
Oh,
amazing.
What is that?
What is that?
You just click a button on the corner of your email and it will like if you have 9 different like chains. In
yeah,
your,
it'll read it.
It will summarize everything.
Oh, that's nice.
So that if you need to like reply to it, it'll do that for you.
I do have something that will blow your mind even more, which is called Fixer. I should be making money from promoting this so much.
Is it like Grammarly?
No.
Okay.
It's AI in your inbox. It's a top one, like it's popular. And basically when you wake up or at any given time, all your emails are answered for you and it gets to know exactly what you would say, exactly how you say it, what you say to common questions, and it'll draft your emails. And then I go in and I don't usually use it for that, but I'll
use it. Send.
You press send.
It will draft it for you. You don't, it doesn't send it.
No,
it
doesn't
you.
Send it.
I'm taking the liberty of canceling your entire day.
Yeah, exactly. But then also it takes all my meeting notes for me. Like if you're in, you know, Zooms or whatever, it takes all your meeting notes. And after the meeting, it'll be like, hi, you know, great to talk today. Here's what we covered. Here's your action items. Here's mine. Like, we'll talk next week about
this. So you leave
it
on during the meeting and it takes it all in?
Yeah, like, it gives the meeting notes after. So you get a full summary meeting notes. But then it goes a step further because there's a lot of those AI note takers. What I love about Fixer is it goes a step further and it actually will like draft an email to close the loop on your meeting of all the action.
All the people I thought were so smart are probably using this.
Fixer.
Where I was like, who has the energy to do
100%.
This?
100%.
Wow. That's great.
Is it a monthly fee?
Yeah. Or I think I pay annual because it's cheaper. Yeah.
Fixer. I need Fixer.
You know.
You're really economical. So to close the loop on my story, my brother-in-law put my mother-in-law in a room with ChatGPT interviewing her about her grandchildren and her life in South Africa and her aesthetics in painting. And she was gone for like an hour. And I'm like, I need this night to be over, dude. Like, I can't.
My mom uses ChatGPT for everything. So any like thing that Andy, you know, tells her, or even today, we're like getting this anti-break film stuff on our windows so we can't be broken into, you know, living in LA. And
and your windows and your actual...
And the window, like,
her house got
plastic.
Broken into couple, last year.
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yeah. 1 year? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no sense of time.
Same.
Anyhow, we were getting it put in.
What does that do?
And it smells a little bit. And I'm, like, very crunchy, like, you know...
Sensitive to...
I
did you smell it?
Yeah, I smelled it. And I was like, what's in this? So I was like, ChatGPT, is it toxic? Is it not? My mom's like using ChatGPT, talking to the guy like, are you using this type of material? Like, is it Okotex certified? Is it this? Is it that? Like, my mom is on the next level now with this ChatGPT.
David, I was not using AI when I sent you my emails today.
Yeah. The first time.
David's like, I'm aware.
The first time she discovered it, she was like, text me like this really thoughtful, long response. And I was like, mom, like, is this a ChatGPT text message that you're sending
me? Was there something that she got ahead of that they were going to do differently or no?
She has already contacted like the company and they owe her a call back now. And she used ChatGPT to ask them what questions to ask the technician.
But what if they are like, yeah, it is toxic and it's already installed.
Yeah, it's already installed.
And be like,
Sorry, but interesting. It's, I mean,
Andy was losing his mind
what
before.
What does
that I was
the film do?
Questions. It basically just makes it anti-shatter.
So it's like a tempered.
Yeah,
it makes it tempered.
No, tempered you can shatter. Yeah. So
it makes it unbreakable.
It doesn't break through.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But so not tempered would mean it's sharp shards. Tempered means it breaks into
it's consolidated.
Not sharp pieces. It totally shatters.
So it's not tempered. What happens is
you will not be able to break through it.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they
yeah,
have like yeah. these commercials like with like a axe, you know.
Same as what?
It's like hurricane proof windows, like in Florida.
It's possible.
I don't know. She grew up in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Okay. No, the ChatGPT thing is crazy. It's vast. I mean,
use it probably like 40 times a day.
She was leaving. She's like, ChatGPT told me I should make a plan with each one of my grandsons once a month alone.
Oh,
I'm
Lord.
Like, oh, my
I
God.
Love that.
It's just so philosophical in terms of clearly it's helpful. But it's just at what point does it become inauthentic, I guess.
I just saw yesterday the Jesus AI has come out. There's some app. Stop. And it's funny because one of my subsects that I've been kind of sitting on to release because I think I'm kind of insane is one on how ChatGPT is like our new God as a society. And how there's been like this gap in religion. Uh-huh. Like religion has been declining for so long. And I think a lot of why people are clinging on to ChatGPT is it's like you get the answers you've been like seeking from this like omniscient, you know, being.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can take it pretty deep to talk about spiritual stuff or your life path or you can, you know,
it's numerology, much more like, concrete than anything Google. Anything you're getting.
And you're harnessing like the, you know, the knowledge of the entire world
of like books
in one place.
I know, it's crazy.
And of all the people using it as well. Like when you're giving it your feelings and data, then it's training its own model. So in a way, it is godly. Anyhow, and I actually wrote this like draft Substack, but I haven't released it yet. And yesterday I saw that Jesus AI has come out and the, you know, thing was asking you like, would you talk to God in an AI form?
Would it be like targeted primarily towards a Christian Catholic base or is it
I think so. And I think it's like referencing a lot of like the scriptures. Like it's, you know, trained to be more, godly.
My friend sent me this guy on Instagram. I'll look up the name. But basically his whole feed is asking ChatGPT things about the future. Like if it was like, it was like you're living in the year, you know, 200 years from now, like what would you tell me about like the biggest downfall of 2025 of like what people believe to be true, but wasn't really true. I mean, it's like, it's actually crazy. I'll send it to you guys. It's just an interesting exercise in asking it to be so much further ahead
and looking.
And then reflecting on what, you know, that what we're, our demise, basically, of that we want instant gratification so much at the cost of, you know, losing.
I was talking about this yesterday.
Of losing, you know, we want comfort, so we're losing like our peace of mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's deeper than that. But it's that.
Well, even the amount of children we're having, right? Like I was reading this article saying how we're all going to be extinct because you have to be having 2.7 or something children per household, and we're at like 1.6, which is like
7.
No, no. 2.7 children.
Okay.
There's a 0.7 in there.
A
0.7 of a child.
And then, but across the board, the average is 1.something?
Yes, in America. And
well, you're welcome, world. I had 3.
Basically, we're going extinct. And that's why Elon Musk and like a lot of these like billionaires are like trying to have as many children as possible. I just read yesterday this Chinese guy has like 60 children by surrogate or something. And he's trying to like repopulate
one
the
globe. One surrogate?
One guy.
One guy.
One guy with, I think
different. I was going to say, dear Lord.
She'd be dead.
She'd be dead.
Sorry, not funny.
No. No, but there's no way. Yeah.
But yeah, this was like
takes a lot out of you.
Big article. Yeah.
Are you good with 2 kids?
I think so. Okay. It could happen.
Yeah, because you're only like,
I'm 36.
27.
Okay, you could have another. I had my last one at 39, I think.
Wow.
I keep thinking about it. Last year was her year that she kept thinking about having another one. This is my year.
Interesting.
Just because we got a puppy I really love.
Yeah. And that makes you
want my third dog.
Yeah.
So I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Is this what having a third kid would be like?
Yeah.
But it could be bad, too.
Yeah. So you have 2?
I have 2.
Yeah. And you think you're done?
I guess. I can't say no. But I'm 43.
You've really flipped on this. Do you know who's pregnant now? My sister just told me. I didn't know.
Oh, I thought you said your sister. I was like, holy shit.
No, do you know who? Jen Meyer is pregnant.
Oh, that's nice.
Really? How many kids does she have, 2?
Yeah.
Who's she pregnant with?
I'm not sure if they're married or engaged.
Yeah, she's with the new guy.
Yeah, they've been together for a few years, I think.
That's so nice.
Is she our age?
She's, I think, Jenny's age or maybe a year older. Okay. So
what
a couple
age is
years
that?
Older. 46, 47.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Giselle, you know, just had at 40.
Okay, well, that's yeah. fucking
Oh,
Giselle.
She did?
Okay.
Yeah. Who's and then my friend with? Is trying to conceive with her jujitsu trainer.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
My friend is trying to conceive and she's 40. And I was like, oh, like she already has two. And she said that people who give birth in their 40s live to over 90.
I read this. I sent this to totally you and Vicky. Tracked. I sent this to you and Vicky.
Isn't it just, though, that people who can have kids in their 40s tend, like, is it causation or correlation? Because people in their 40s who can have children successfully, aren't they just healthier women or people?
Great argument.
Right? Yeah. Or is it that having slow. That third baby made you live longer?
I believe there's a piece of that. I had an OB who I love, but I ended up switching for a few different reasons.
Didn't we see the same OB? Rothbard?
Michelle?
No.
Okay. She told me that pregnancy often cures like chronic ailments for in pregnancy, like but like forever.
Arthritis keep getting pregnant.
That's incredible.
Because it goes away while you're pregnant.
No, sometimes it will go like away forever, depending on the severity of it. Yes. But it's not just that. Like I was having some stomach issues, and she was like, oftentimes like the pregnancy like, will just
get
like,
pregnant.
No, I mean I was already pregnant at the time, but she was. That's why we started this conversation. But I do believe there's an element of that, and I also believe there's a genetic element, of course. That if you're able to, then your body's clearly maybe faster at healing, faster at. Yeah. I don't know, but
you're rolling the dice with that.
But
one.
It is. I mean, you're being pumped. As much as it's taking from you, you're also being pumped full of this life.
Yes. I've never felt better than pregnant. Oh. I'm one of those annoying people.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
You're so
I felt
so
like
aware.
I had like a bubble around me of like no one could hurt me. Nothing affected me. I didn't let any like bullshit through. No stress.
Wow.
So nice.
You know what I loved? I think I have a fear of being alone, weirdly, even though I like to isolate myself. I don't love being alone.
I'm the same.
And are you?
Oh my God.
And I just remember, I mean, I across the board, I loved that feeling of like I was never alone.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I never felt it more than when Duran and I were traveling for something overseas and he had to go back for business to China or something. And I had to come home to the other boys. And I remember like being on that plane by myself and being like, and I just like felt like I was like, I'm not alone. Cause I was pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
But I was like,
who are you pregnant with?
That's so sweet.
I think Dom, but I was just like, I'm not alone. Like no matter what. And nice it was like, there was a weird peace of mind. Like it was like, no matter what happens to me, like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Well, it forces you to step up.
Even fear of flying, which I often have.
Yeah.
It was just like all of it melted away.
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. We should get pregnant.
Okay. When
let's do it.
Andy travels, like my mom comes and she sleeps in the bed with me. And like, I can't be alone.
I love that.
And I was talking to someone about this yesterday and they said like, you know, we are social creatures. Of course, some people have like a higher need than others, but like we're social creatures. Like that's why we need to be spooned. We need to be touched.
Yeah.
And not that my mom's not spooning me.
I was like,
just to be clear.
By the way, it wouldn't weird me out. But wait, you have siblings.
No, I'm an only child. So maybe that's part of it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
But you and your mom are really close.
Very close.
We're adults. We've lived this
long. It's called sleep divorce. People love it.
But no, but for me, it wouldn't necessarily
be every. Wait, you would want to do
that? Wouldn't be every night. Yeah. Just the option of sleeping, having my own huge bed to sleep in if I wanted to.
I mean, my husband would feel the same way, I think.
Yeah.
But not me.
You're like, no, don't.
No, never. Oh.
Maybe it's because I've had a...
Do you snore or Duran snores?
He does sometimes.
Like, what bothers you about being
maybe the fact that I have a 90-pound 8-year-old in the bed with us.
Oh, yeah, that will do it.
Yeah.
Last night, Andy slept with Alexander, and I slept with my mom and Leia, all three of us in the bed. It was brutal, but it was like a special night because they wanted their boys thing.
Aww.
But then I also realized
you feel like a puppy in like a pile.
Yes, it was so cute. I also realized like it feels so good, even though it's like it. You, I mean, you know, because you co-sleep. Even though there's parts of it, of course, that are annoying. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing every night. I feel that in my bones.
I know.
Me too.
But my husband took it away from me. My, you know, maternal right.
Oh, he won't let them sleep in there.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Dom is like a boomerang. He finds his way back no matter what.
Oh, so boomerang.
So, like for a while, then we're to the point where he knows it's
the gig's up.
The gig is up. And like he'll sleep at the foot of the bed like he's a puppy. Aww. And I'm like, this is so depressing. You can't just get in.
Yeah.
When does he come back? Does he start in his bed?
He always does. If I go to his room, I just stay the whole night.
Yeah.
Because Duran will go.
I used to sleep in Alexander's bed for like a couple
Duran's
years.
Duran's night last night. So Duran stays till 2 and then Dom comes back at like 3:30.
Oh my God.
boomerang style. I know it's fleeting. It's not going to be forever. Yeah.
I co-slept till I was 11. This is how Andy convinced me. Same. You co-slept. And we went, when we had Leia, my daughter, we're like, okay, this is not like sustainable that I'm sleeping in his bed. It wouldn't be fair to her. Like, whatever. Poor thing. She went like straight to crib. But the sleep trainer was like, okay, you co-slept till you were 11. And do you feel that you are a more independent sleeper because of it? How is your sleep hygiene? And I was like, no, I'm like completely fucked
hygiene?
Up.
Sleep hygiene.
Like, no, I like need a body alone. Next to yeah. me to yeah. sleep all the time. I have yeah. no self-soothing strategies yeah. whatsoever. Yeah. Like, I need to like figure something out. I need like a robot, you know, human robot or
did
something.
Did you use Happy Sleeper? Who did you use?
I used, no, this oh. this woman. Okay. Yeah. But she was really good. I mean,
your sleep hygiene.
It was effective. My point being that she convinced me that you do want your kids to learn how to self-soothe yeah. and how to put themselves to sleep, or I never went to a sleepover for the same reason.
Same here.
Yeah. But that's what sometimes co-sleeping can do is you have this
separation anxiety for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys
I still have
really
it.
Are, too. Are very
I'm like a, it's I'm like a 7-year-old girl in a 36-year-old
do you
body.
Feel the same way about having your kids sleep over at places? Because I'm like, at least with Dom, I'm like, I don't want you to sleep over anywhere.
I don't really at this age. I
you
mean,
let them?
No. No, oh. he's never before. Oh. But he never would.
How old
because
is he? 7?
He's 8.
Oh.
But he's like totally
he's in
would
second
not
grade.
Be into that. Yeah.
He's in the same grade as Teddy.
Same
yeah.
grade as Ted. Well, Teddy yeah. just
oh, so
had
he
his first.
To, yeah.
yeah.
He had his first and we were like, I started drinking.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, one of us needs to not drink because he is not going to be into
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And he stayed.
And stayed the whole night.
Wow.
And at one point was like, our the mom was like, he wants not. To FaceTime you. I was like, yeah. here we go.
Yeah.
He was like, what time are you picking me up? And I was like, aww. Yep, I knew it. Yeah. And then he was like, pick me up late tomorrow morning.
Oh, cute.
But also, we have slept together our entire lives.
Wow.
He's 8, just
wow.
turned 8. And then after Thanksgiving, we got the kids bunk beds.
Yeah.
In the
oh, how's
playroom.
That going?
Oh, that's sweet.
It's golden.
How's yeah. your jail? Your,
I think
your
that's so sweet for siblings, too, to be in the same room.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So
you guys both have a girl and a boy.
Girl yeah. and boy. Boy's the oldest.
Yeah,
I
same.
Worship him.
Yeah, same.
Whoa, and then, I've never heard that before.
Oh, I love Ted.
Well, she well, wants I to mean, marry Dom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. yeah. Wait, did you send me, the Grazi olive oil?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll get into that know. A second. Hold on. I need to ask
Graza.
Graza.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, so just it's been a game changer.
Yeah.
He's sleeping in the bed by himself.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
nice.
I'm on the bottom bunk of Lola's. Lola is like ruined.
Wait, you're in the bunk bed with them?
Oh yeah.
it's but a wait, gradual transition. The bottom is a twin too?
Yeah, it's like a jailhouse.
Oh,
like,
two twins.
Two twins.
They're all
like a jailhouse.
There?
Everyone sleeps there.
But you're like out in the open in the TV room?
Wait, what amazing. About your husband? Is he?
He sleeps in the bed downstairs by himself.
He doesn't
care as long as it doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. we talked to a therapist yesterday and she was like, so what's the plan? I was like, I'm going to get back there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, it's just when you're used to sleeping with your kids, there's.
I know. It's
no,
so
I,
nice.
I know. It's bittersweet. I'm like, where's that little warm little leg and
yeah.
breathing?
There's
body.
Nothing more yeah. soothing to me.
Yeah. I know. I agree.
Wait. So you represent Graza. Do you represent
I
them?
Don't. Oh. I represented
oh.
Brightland.
Oh, yes.
Which was like their
the olive
competitor.
Oil.
Olive
oh.
oil. Yeah.
You've never represented
Graza?
I
talked
Graza?
To Graza, actually. Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
Talk to them.
Wait. I have to tell you this story. The other day, then I mean, like 5 days ago, this box came.
No oh, note. I didn't send that box.
And it was Graza?
I won't take credit
what?
For it.
It was no note.
Wait, are you talking about the Yahoo?
No, I got it
collab?
Too.
Is it the Yahoo one?
Wait, I got it too.
With the keyboard?
Wait, it said, but
it
hold
like
on.
Two things in it.
It said
from Graza directly.
It said to Dom and Sam Silverman.
Huh.
And I go, this is hilarious because I glanced at it and thought it was Duran. And I look
yeah.
at it and I go, this
like,
is
no, no,
hilarious. I go, this says Dom and Sam. No. And then Duran goes, I think Lauren represents Graza.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, that would be the funniest like joke of
yeah.
you to just.
No,
like,
no, no. I love that though.
Wait, I got one too.
Okay. Why?
I have no, and it came to my house. It didn't come to my office, which
yeah.
I thought like all gifts usually.
What'd you
come
get
to my
in
own.
It?
An olive oil and one other thing.
I got like 10 things.
Oh my god!
I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm just
I was
kidding.
Like,
I'm just kidding.
I didn't.
I got 4 things. It was like 3 olive oils and like a bag of potato chips.
Oh wait, so did I?
Yeah,
a bag of potato chips.
Yeah.
They're like yeah. I got the same exact thing.
Who did say Cotty and Ted?
Wait, I got that. The like
yes, I
Greek
did get that
potato chips.
There's
like
a
fancy
green
one?
And white bag.
Oh, there?
And it was like
oh,
olive
no,
oil and salt. It was a green and white bag.
Bag or box?
It was a bag. Mine was a bag.
This is a giant
okay,
ad
okay,
for
so
Graza.
This just. This
Graza,
just
what are you doing?
At
I mean, I
house.
Love it. I love it. I buy
so
it.
So do I, but I was like, this is odd.
Mine was no a box name. Shipped. And it said Dom and Sam Silverman. I thought it was you being like, you guys are married.
No, that's so sweet. Now I need to.
Do you know what's really embarrassing? What I did?
Definitely Lauren. I'm like, oh my God.
The other day I walked into my office and there was a bag sitting on my desk and it was a Louis Vuitton bag, like a small one. And I go into like a few other people's offices and they got similar, not Louis Vuitton, but they got similar ones. And so I was like, who are these gifts from? And they told us. And I was like, oh my God, I love these guys. So then I do a video being like, is there any better way to walk into your office? And I was like, I love you guys so much.
It wasn't for you. It
wasn't for me. Do you know how embarrassing the awkward exchange? They're like, don't open it. And I was like,
wait, what?
I already had it on my phone.
No, really, don't open it. It's not yours.
Wait, no, what? I already had it like on my phone, was using it. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Got to delete that reel.
Yeah.
They knew because of your reel? Or because
no, like, I texted them directly. What's even
you
worse
said
is
thank
they
you
got...
so much, and they said no, that's not for,
it's
you.
Not for you.
Oh, that's
wait, were you supposed to get one of the lesser ones?
No,
you weren't getting anything.
No, so it turns out they'd come to my holiday party and brought me something else of greater value.
Oh,
so the fact that I assumed I received two
at your house.
Yeah.
Oh,
who are these Louis Vuitton gifters?
I would like a rich man stocking, please.
Friends with them.
Yeah. They're amazing.
I would like a rich man's stocking with like a laptop, like
they're
a
like
Louis
the
Vuitton
Dior
roller.
Was for you.
What?
They're like the Dior was for you. I was like, oh God. I was like, I'm so presumptuous.
Did you have to take it to someone else's desk?
No, they came to me and I was like, this is for you. They're like, what's doing in your office? I was like, I thought it was mine.
Stop it.
So embarrassing.
So what is taking up the most of your time aside from being a mom?
Work. Definitely.
Yeah.
Last night I woke up at 4 a.m. for an hour and a half just thinking
about it. But what is it? Is it the quality edit or is it the
I
other...
have Dream Day, which is a Dream PR Day. And affiliate agency.
Okay, so that's the biggest
they're
piece.
Equal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's Dream Day. I am like the sole owner of that. And then I started this passion project with my co-founder called The Quality Edit, which is a publication we review and curate consumer brands. But the monetization
online
model,
publication?
Online.
Okay.
The monetization model is we're a performance marketing agency, which is called Quality Media. So we own our own publication, but we work with a bunch of advertisers and we basically leverage the publication in our advertising called whitelisting. And so I split my time between both of those. I didn't mean to really start two agencies, but I was formerly at Ritual, the vitamin company, with
said.
My
yeah.
co-founder.
Yes.
And we were like, doing these really cool
do you,
things.
Do you
with
take Ritual?
Publishers. I do.
Yeah.
I'm taking it like
still
8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. People love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I really, Kat, the CEO, they're now a client of mine on both agencies, which
so
is cool.
Cool.
Full That's circle cool. moment.
Yeah.
But she really walks the walk in terms of the transparency and the ingredients. And like, I know that if they're putting something in their vitamins, it's truly good. So, the passion project that Lee, my co-founder, and I started became a full second agency, which was not necessarily intentional, but, you know, it's fun.
But if it goes hand in hand, it's sort of like...
They kind of do. Yeah, yeah, we have a lot of shared clients between both agencies, and they're both very fast
growing. What is the primary, type of products that you're representing? I mean, is it products or is it like
all consumer brands? So like
consumer
CPG,
brands. Got you.
Across food and beverage,
yes.
home and lifestyle, beauty
yes.
and wellness. We represent Ritual,
yes.
Quince, Ilia, Goop.
So products.
Yeah.
What are your favorite like products right now? Beauty or anything really?
I feel like I'm so jaded because
are
I
you?
See so much.
Are you? Like, what do you love? I mean, not to
I mean,
put, but just like, what are your favorite things right now? Like
yeah.
a couple of them.
I mean, as far as companies go,
yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with Quince.
Yes.
Like, I do think
I
that
slept with a Quince last night. Like, it was a little
did?
Stuffed animal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a
sweater.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know. Just
I was going to say, I thought Quince was like sweatsuits. And
they're
no,
cashmere.
It's casual.
They do, I mean, it's.
Oh, yes.
It's they
yes, want to
be like the new Macy's yeah. of online.
Like
so
affordable
they're, like,
cashmere.
Cutting out the middleman. And they do some controversial marketing campaigns where they
well, like
compare
the,
themselves.
And like
to
the totem rip.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's yeah. a, I mean, they. There's a lot of those.
There's a little bit of some ripping, but the quality
yeah.
of the cashmere, I think, is really what got
it
them
actually
on the board.
It's very good.
It's
yeah.
really
like when
good.
You, it's
yeah.
like, you know, a Jenny Kane quality,
yeah.
in
yeah.
my opinion.
And
I'm
like
biased,
a third, a
yeah.
quarter of
yeah.
the price?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also do, like, I am trying to buy this jute rug that they keep selling out of that's like a third of the price of Pottery Barn, and they do window coverings.
Have you
and...
bought anything from there before?
No.
My...
The stupid Pottery Barn jute.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like...
Yeah.
a dog goes to the bathroom on it and it's
exactly. Well, yeah. I have two dogs too.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So Quince,
we just started working with Ruggable. I love a Ruggable for the same reason. All the dogs, all the kids, you know,
okay,
especially in the kitchen, you know, and they just did this really cute collaboration with Anthropology, which went really well.
Oh, I want to see that because I ordered one because of her.
I usually do the Founders Collection.
Yeah.
And I didn't love the look of it.
Wait, yes. Where did you order?
I tried to do one in like my dining room and
I returned it. Yeah. Sorry, Ruggable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it for like the high traction areas, like the kitchen runners or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you do the highest like foam?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to foam it up.
Yeah. You got to foam it up. Yeah.
I don't know if I do. I don't think I do.
Anthropology. I think Anthropology has such a great aesthetic. Is that new?
They do. Yeah. It's brand new. Yeah. Okay. Let's see who else. I mean, a brand that we don't work with that I just really like respect and think is so fun from a marketing perspective is Vacation. Their sunscreens.
Oh, yeah.
You seen them?
The perfume.
They're like in Target and everywhere now, like you've mainstream, but they have very like nostalgic 90s marketing, and the way that they carry it through to like
it's
every touch
Vacation.
Point is when you see it, you'll
have
know
I seen
it.
It?
I bought the perfume like 2 years
ago. Yeah.
And it smells like, like you've been out in the sun
90s.
All day, like 90s sunscreen mixed with coconut.
Yeah.
It's
just
fun.
Their marketing is genius.
But what marketing is genius.
Yeah. Are you, But are you using it for just like when you're out in the sun or using it every day?
I mean, I don't even use it that much.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
it's
like,
just cute.
I'm too crunchy for sunscreen.
Wait, this is cute. Vacation Classic Whip. It looks like whipped cream.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. But all of their marketing, like in every touch point is just like genius. If you look even on their site and like
do you think ChatGPT came up with it for them?
I don't think so. This is pre-ChatGPT.
So do brands mostly, like would you say, what's the percentage of brands that are coming to you and the percentage of brands that you're reaching out to say like you should work with me?
Everything is inbound at this point.
Oh, wow.
Which is really nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We pride ourselves on quality work and, you know, I don't have any investors. So for me, like our reputation is everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what has allowed us to be successful and grow so quickly is a lot of other agencies have a lot of pressure to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like these big
and
behemoths.
And then they can't maintain at the same level.
Acquired by PE firms. Uh-huh. And they have to hit certain numbers and they take on any client.
Yeah.
And when you take on any client, like if you put a team on that client that is not excited about selling some financial service or app or whatever, like they're that passion, I believe, is going to carry through to every touch point. And then you lose your most talented people and then you don't have the most talented team. And so we work with brands that we ourselves use every single day that we are all obsessed with. Like we
so you'll say no to some people who want.
Yeah, we say no to a lot of clients. And I think we started with a lot of editorial darling brands, like I was talking about, like Brightland or like Fly by Jing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we've started to go into like larger enterprise brands. We just signed Amazon Books. I don't know if I can say
amazing.
Amazon and starting to talk to like more larger clients like that. And honestly, part of that has just been because the environment has like shifted and a lot of the smaller brands, it's just so hard for them to be successful, to get funding. And so
like a Fly by Jing, which I was like, had a moment where I like had to put it on everything and I OD'd. And
me
I OD'd.
In the pandemic, like, did you ever do the dumplings?
Yes. And did
the
you ever,
dumplings
but then did you
the
ever go so over the edge and put it on vanilla ice cream?
I did. Cause that's what they say to do. It's so good. I love Jing.
But I you know them, right? They're, she's in YPO.
Yeah, she is.
But I went over the edge and I screwed myself because I haven't come back yet. But so like someone like that, will you say, okay, we have done as much as we can do for you at this level. We don't want to work with you anymore. Or will you just keep them on? Like,
no,
what do you do?
We kept them on. We kept them on for a while. Like their needs changed and what have you. We're still very friendly, but they're like, you know, I'd say what happens is you start to charge more and more and then only larger clients can afford you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading and obsessed with this whole philosophy of growing your business called The Science of Scaling by this guy, Benjamin Hardy.
Ooh.
It's a great listen podcast. Right. There's like a free audiobook. I'll send it to you.
It's a weekly podcast?
Did I say podcast? It's an audiobook.
Audiobook.
Yeah, audiobook.
You said both. That's
sorry.
What I was gonna, yeah.
Audiobook. He probably has a podcast, honestly, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But his philosophy is all about raising your floor, which means that anything, and it could apply to your life, I guess, in general, it doesn't have to be business. Anything that's like taking you out of the 5% of things that you can do that would actually like move the needle in your life,
yeah,
you try to get rid of. So point being that as you raise the floor, even on your pricing, the smaller clients, which sadly, like the ones that negotiate the hardest, that are the lowest retainer, also tend to be the most
drain.
Draining mm-hmm. on the team mm-hmm. and sometimes lowest sentiment.
David's because like, I'm done with you.
A lot of times, a lot of times they...
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. A lot of times they're counting on you to like save their business and, you know, like every little move matters. And so I've been applying that a lot. And my point being that sometimes the smaller clients, like it, you, they fade away and then you replace them with a larger
client. The book
we
also
still love our small clients, but you know.
Yeah, no, yeah. But that's so healthy and such a healthy mindset.
Yeah.
Does he also talk about that pertaining to just like your personal life as well? Or is it more in business?
No, yeah.
Because I feel like that could be applicable to anything, really.
Something that he talks about a lot is like focus, right? And even Steve Jobs was like, the key to Steve Jobs' success was not the things he said yes to, but all the things he said no to. And so the more you get good at saying no, which is something I'm constantly working on because I'm like a doer, like to be busy and all the things. But an exercise that he has is, let's say I wanted to start a podcast. I would think about what would this look like at 100x? Because growth is very different than scaling.
Yes.
Growth is you go from 1 million to 2 million to 3 million to 4 million. Yeah. Scaling is like you go from 1 million to 5 million to 15 to 100.
Yeah.
And so his philosophy is all around
we're not there.
Scaling.
Yeah.
And how, where am I bringing that back to?
Just how he's how it's Steve Jobs and applying
it. Oh, saying
to,
no. Yeah. So if I wanted to start a podcast, I would think, what would this look like at like 10x or 100x scale?
Yeah.
Would this be valuable if it were like that? And if the answer is no, then you don't do it. So it's like these constant kind of like gut checks of like, is this going to be the most impactful thing that I can do? But I think you could apply it to the way you work out or, you know, how you're spending your time.
Just, and how you spend your, you know, your free time, I think, too, like as a mom or as a wife or as a friend or
even
I mean,
friends, right? Like there's always like people that you... There's people that you want to like invest in and, you know, that it feels mutual and what have you. And then there's people that can be like draining or I mean, I'm making that up.
But exactly. Like I mean, you can't scale the friendships to 10x, but
you know what I mean? What'd That's what I've been dealing with. Like sometimes like friendships don't serve you the same way they used to.
Yeah.
And you outgrow them. It's not worth my energy and time and emotion. Like you just need to learn when to walk away. It's the same thing.
It seems to be more clearer and clearer as you get older too, I think, because you're more in tuned
with the your body, your energy. Something I always come back to every day, which was like a gift from my therapist, was how do you want to feel every day? And if you identify like a couple words of how you want to feel, then every decision becomes very easy. If you think about how is this interaction with a friend or how is doing this like going to make me feel, am I going to feel for me like centered, grounded, calm?
So will you say no to certain people like friends that you feel drain you? Will you, what will you do? I mean, because I think we all run into that sometimes where there's people that you're not going to cut out of your life completely, but that you know you aren't going to feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want it on a Sunday.
No,
you know what I mean?
100%.
So you just boundaries.
Or even family members, boundaries. Yeah. I've had I have some family members and I've had to get really disciplined about boundaries because I would feel like a cloud is like hanging over my head, you know, before seeing them, after seeing them.
Yes.
Anxiety driving there. Why am I doing this? Thinking to myself, like I'm like literally torturing myself. And so I had to get really good about I'm going to go somewhere with this person. They're not going to come to my house. I'm going to spend 1 hour
controlled.
With them. I'm going to still give to the relationship like a little bit because it's, you know, family and because that's a choice I have made.
Yes. You want to show up.
Yeah. I am not going to let it, you know, phone calls any time of day, texts all day long. Like I can't do that. It's draining. Mm-hmm. Even looking at it, even though I don't respond anymore, even looking at it is draining. Mm-hmm. So I won't even read it a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell them I don't look at my text messages.
she just put on the I'm driving, I'm not looking at my text message thing.
Yeah,
like now, which is
I have the do not disturb on all the time. And I'm like, if someone wants to,
but you don't see it at all when that's on.
That's what she wants you to think.
Oh, I know.
I'm just kidding.
It's a little bit above. I don't know, but I really don't know.
Yeah, no, you
You do. But it doesn't alert you. Like, the alert's not going to pop up on your phone.
I don't get any alerts. I don't get any.
You don't get the alerts, but if you go, you'll see it.
If you go into your text messages, yes, you can see it. But it's not going
to
go.
You can also snooze. Like, if you
care to see this?
Yeah.
I exited a sixth grade boy chat conversation the other day because I just couldn't.
You can also mute them.
Mute it. Because when you exit, now they're all talking shit about you.
No, you guys, it was a move. It was a choice.
I like it. I think it's a strong
I had a few
move.
Moms who were like, say you're my hero. And then the one mom who organized it, like a week later, was like, can I add you back now? I was like, I mean, I guess so. Wait, you can mute it?
Yeah.
And then unmute it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would never know. You just don't get the alerts for it. So if you have like a really annoying group chat.
But it's still like, it still like looks like a blue thing.
Yeah, you still see the text if you want to.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine.
But no alerts.
I'll need a tutorial on how to do that next time. Yeah, yeah. Just like how you mute profiles on Instagram.
Right.
They don't know.
Yeah.
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 I was a power move.
Yeah.
I exited the conversation.
Yeah.
It was like 25 text messages in the course of like 3 hours
over text?
A football game at Harvard. I mean, it was like so dumb. Like,
that's
it was
a WhatsApp conversation.
Yeah.
That's why
I've muted
my
that.
Mom.
I never look at WhatsApp.
My mom friends
that's where
are
all my
separate.
Parent groups
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
I never get
yes,
that.
Exactly.
But
I
turned
off the
notification.
If someone really needs me,
they'll text me.
I'll hear about it.
You'll hear about it. The muting of the text messages is interesting to me. But
there's just too many channels.
I have too many channels.
The DMs. Yeah. I have LinkedIn messages. I have. I'm sure.
I don't check LinkedIn.
Slack. I do a lot on LinkedIn. Slack messages, emails, texts.
What's
the
Slack?
WhatsApp?
Slack is like
a workplace.
AOL.
Like, so my whole company, both companies are on Slack.
I am.
Internal.
Business,
okay.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
and I'm constantly
I'm like,
checking.
If you need me.
Yeah.
And I've kind of created this world for myself where I'm like, I don't check Slack. And people know.
I know. I just met a CEO of a billion-dollar company the other day. And we were actually like pitching him and he's like, I don't have a computer. I'm like, excuse me, you don't have a computer? And he was like, no, I do like everything on my phone. And I'm like, okay, this is like a very high level leader, right?
Yeah.
He has like a lot of support obviously around him. I'm still like in the weeds on a lot of stuff, making a lot of day-to-day decisions. But I'm like, how do I get to that place where I'm like, no laptop.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like walk around on my phone calls all day
long. I'll just spew words of wisdom.
You transcribe it.
10X, you said?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a different, and that's just a different a mindset as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think certain people, even at that level, would want to have the organization of a laptop too. But yeah. Oh my God, it's crazy! It was so, but it's so incredible what you're doing.
Thank you.
So, do you take any days off during the week to be like picking the kids up, or how much can you? How flexible are you?
Well, our school luckily is like a 3-minute walk away.
Amazing.
So walk them to. We have breakfast every day. We have dinner every day together as a family, pretty much every day. Andy sometimes travels, but and then the school is 3-minute walk, so I walk them to school every day. My nanny usually picks them up, but then, you know, they come back home and like I see them, I'm working, but I have a home office. So they see me in my office and my parents work from home and I always kind of appreciated like at least
they're there,
the proximity.
Yeah.
You don't have their attention, which sucks, but like.
And they're pretty good about respecting that.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they still walk in and whatnot, but it's like very minor. We have full time childcare, which obviously my job would not be possible without.
Yeah.
But
that is cool, though.
I do think about the sacrifice all the time.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I think on one hand, I feel that I've made a very deliberate choice to, you know, continue working when I had kids. But I honestly felt that being a stay-at-home mom was so much harder than working.
She said this from
before
kids.
So I was like, I guess I'm going to work.
Yeah.
It's too hard. Like,
but also you are full.
It's a different type of brain power.
Yeah. But you're getting so much fulfillment from what you're doing, which then is.
It allows me to be more present.
Pours into your kids.
When you are there.
I think if I was exhausted and drained and
stimulated. I think that's also a negative, even if you're physically there.
Yeah.
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 So
exactly.
It's pretty cool. And the proximity thing.
I try to be very present when I am with them. And I never, I shut my laptop at 5 because my nanny leaves. So I'm like, okay, I'm now context shifting.
You're better than I am.
Yeah. I don't go back online. It took me years to get to that point. Like I used to open my laptop again and whatever after they went to sleep. But I feel like it's a good
balance.
Good balance.
I shut down at 7.
Yeah. Do you have dinner with your kids?
No. Yeah. Shop closes.
No.
Three? That's don't. Nice.
Because it's late.
I mean, not really, but in my mind, like, I'm the most productive from 7 to 3. Yeah. I'm just, like, doing so much. And then by that, when I pick, I try to pick at least one of them up, and then it's then they're home. But to the proximity point, I think it is so huge.
It is.
Because even weekends or weekdays when they might be doing homework, they might be in their room talking to their friend, they know you're there.
Yeah.
And there's something really, really soothing about that. Because even when I leave, I'm like, you haven't even been with me all day. They're like, well, why are you leaving? I'm like, well, they like you.
They know
there.
Where you are.
They know they're there. And that's absolutely huge. So you're kind of getting the best of both. Yeah.
And I this year, I started to like work out more. Because that was always, it's always been important for me to like move my body. Like I feel like shit when I am like inside on
it's
the
so
laptop.
Mental.
Like no one is meant to do that.
No.
So I started to play tennis, play pickleball.
Everyone's playing tennis.
I know, strength everyone. Train. Like
I
want to
wear
a
tennis outfit. That's all I want to do in tennis. Just show up
very,
in it.
Okay. Very fun.
Where do you play at Hillcrest?
At Hillcrest, yeah. But I used to play with Christine like at her court in her neighborhood.
Oh, cute.
But my point being that I always kind of thought, oh, I can't do these things because I have to work.
That's the afterthought.
And now I'm doing the things. And like, luckily, I'm surrounded by incredible team members.
Yeah.
And I have like an executive team now and what have you.
You carve out that time. And
I carve out the time. They know I'm doing it. And nothing is broken. And my happiness has exponentially increased. Like it's directly correlated with racket sports, I realized.
How many days a week?
I play tennis once a week. I play pickleball once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And I strength train twice a week.
So, but out of like, so is that 5 days?
Yeah,
or is
it's
it
pretty
like,
much like every day I'm doing something.
Every day you're doing
new.
Something.
That's
nice.
And I try to take calls walking as much as I can.
Yeah.
Haven't been that great about it. I stopped wearing my Aura ring and now my steps have dwindled.
How are you? Like, Aura ring's a whole nother conversation. Are you happier without it?
I am.
Okay.
My therapist told me to stop because. I'm like, I'm very type A and perfectionist.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the thing that was getting me on the Aura ring, and I love the company. I think it's an incredible company. I want them as a client.
Yeah.
No, you know.
Come on.
But
inbound.
the stress metrics, like it was saying that I was stressed all day long. And I'm like, I don't want to be stressed. Like stress is like the X factor in health. Like I feel good. I feel excited when I'm working.
Yeah.
I don't feel stressed. Of course, sometimes I'm like, when I'm pitching, it's like you're like putting your energy
out.
Yeah, because
it's like you're like, you're hopped up.
Moving and shaking.
Yeah,
you know?
You're moving and shaking.
I am energized all day, like for the most part, but it just kept saying I was like, had so much stress. And the me monitoring the stress was making me more stressed.
And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're like, I'm stressed.
So now
it just
like,
means you have an elevated heart rate. They can't tell when you're stressed.
Exactly.
So it's
I try to now just like tune in to how I feel. And I'm like, I feel like this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like if in the morning I wake up and I feel good and I'm not like checking my sleep score right away.
She bought me a Garmin watch a few years ago and I wore it and we had our fun. And she wore it longer than me. Are you still wearing it? Then at a certain point, I was like, I can't.
It's also just like,
it's
it gets
me
like kind of like, you know, water goes underneath and I would get like these little like bumps. And I'm
Well, also it's not cute.
By my head.
You
and
need
it's, like
diamonds.
Computer
aura
by my.
Aura needs to do like a fine aura.
Yeah.
Wait, we're running out of time, but I feel like we need a part two of you.
That'd be
I didn't even get to, this is like, this is
your script.
This is proof
ask
of a good
questions.
Podcast because literally like
we didn't
like,
even pick those
It
up.
Doesn't even matter. None of this is even as interesting as the stuff we talked about. But I still, I want to, no, it's too many things. I have two, you're so well-spoken.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet.
And just thank like, you have so you know, many good
I was,
ideas.
I
mean, it's
someone,
you're really impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're so sweet. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I was talking to someone yesterday and I was telling them my worst fear was public speaking. Like if you told me 3 years ago that I was doing this, I would not believe you.
Did
like,
you work on it?
I nearly quit a job because I had to stand up in front of the company.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, I will not do this one more day.
Yeah.
I was
but were you
so...
always this good or were you like, did you hone this?
I don't know. I think when people would tell me, oh, public speaking, it's just a muscle that you flex. Mm-mm. I was like, no, that's some fucking bullshit. But then I just started doing it because as a leader in the company, you don't really have a choice. You can't be like a little hermit, like not, you know. So I'd have to like speak in front of the company and then I just started doing it more and more.
But you feel comfortable in your role in
now
your space.
Yes.
It's when you're doing a job that you don't feel 100% secure in that public speaking will trigger that.
Agreed.
That's
if I don't know what I'm talking about, of course.
Exactly.
I'm
you're
forcing
you're very
it.
Concise. There's not a lot of fluff.
Thanks.
And definitely. You close a loop. You're,
really
you're Virgo?
I love a closed loop. I'm Virgo.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you. We are not stopping. We're going to see you next week. And Lauren will be back. I know everyone's going to love you.
I would love that.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.